Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 7, we are taking a live look at a growing memorial for two teenagers killed in Orange County as a 17-year-old is taken into custody in connection with their murders. Plus...
But I took action and I'm very proud of myself.
New at 7, a woman who was the victim of a home invasion and shot the intruder is talking about the scary experience.
And a major cut to oil production, what this could mean for the prices at the gas pump for you. In a live interview, we're going to talk to a local economist coming up. Tonight, a 17-year-old is in custody in connection with the murder of the two teenagers you see on the screens to our sides. They were killed in Orange County.
The juvenile is accused of killing 14-year-old Lyric Woods and 18-year-old Devin Clark. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Right now, we showed you that growing memorial off the top of the show. It's remembering the lives of these two teens as their families get their first step toward justice more than 2 weeks now after the teens were killed.
And that's where we find WRAL's Aaron Thomas live in Orange County. Aaron.
Yeah, Deborah, you can see here at this memorial in Orange County, there's the cross. You have the balloons and flowers where the two bodies of Lyric Woods and Devin Clark were found. A major break in this case now that we know a suspect is in custody. We have spent pretty much of the day speaking with investigators here in Orange County, including the sheriff and the district attorney. Under North Carolina law, criminal records are kept private for juveniles, which is the case. Because of that, we don't have the identity, who caught him, or when and where he was taken into custody. Now, the mother of Devin Clark, that's the 18-year-old whose body was found near 14-year-old Lyric Woods, tells WRAL, quote, there's a big relief off of her chest knowing that this person is in custody. A motive behind the killing has yet to be determined. This evening, I spoke with a defense attorney who mostly handles cases in Durham County, but occasionally handles a few here in Orange County. He shared with me what's likely to happen with the juvenile in custody.
If they keep it as first-degree murder, he has to be prosecuted as an adult. It has to be transferred to Superior Court. As to how, when that happens, there will be a hearing. They will either just indict him, or they will have a probable cause hearing in juvenile court, which leads to the transfer.
Now, we have heard from the family of Devin Clark. We have also reached out to the family of Lyric Woods. We're still waiting to hear back on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50. We're going to get a further breakdown of the law by the legal expert and what we can likely expect in the coming days. Deborah?
Aaron Thomas, live in Orange County. Thank you, Aaron.
Investigators say a man is accused of breaking into a Harnett County home while a woman was sleeping, attempting to rob her and steal her dog. New at 7 o'clock, we are hearing from the victim who then shot that intruder. This all unfolded before 6 o'clock yesterday morning at a home on Bear Lane in Dunn. You see it on the map. The woman told deputies that she woke up to a banging noise at her door. That's when she says she confronted the man trying to steal items there and apparently the dog as well, and she shot him in the leg. Tonight, that victim is opening up about the scary experience.
But I took action and I'm very proud of myself that I stood up for myself. As a woman, I stood up for myself.
Malik Giles of Johnston County was arrested not far from the home. He's in jail tonight. Coming up on WRAL News at 10 and 11, the victim's message to other women.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. We're following a stabbing that happened here in Durham right at the parking lot of the leasing office for a high-end apartment community. You take a look at this scene here. Durham police got out here right about 5:30 this afternoon. You see police here still on scene. They tell us they found a man who had been stabbed here in the parking lot. He was rushed to the hospital. He is expected to recover from his wounds. You can see investigators are still on scene here piecing together what exactly led up to this stabbing. We are still working to learn that as well. We'll bring you those details as we have them. Back to you.
Thank you, Eric. A man charged with murder appeared in court for the first time today in connection with a shooting at a Chapel Hill complex just minutes from UNC. 29-year-old Michael Henry of Durham was arrested last night, accused of opening fire at University Gardens condominiums last week. 51-year-old Michael Lee died and two others were hurt. Henry also faces attempted murder and assault charges. It was the second time in just 4 weeks someone had been shot and killed in that complex. WRAL spoke with a student who lives on that street about the continued violence.
But I did hear the gunshots the other day, last week. So that was kind of scary, but we're used to it, which is unfortunate.
Henry is in jail under no bond and could face the death penalty or life without parole. He's due back in court later this month.
Across North Carolina, the number of new COVID-19 cases is down 29% in the past week. New numbers released just today, however, show wastewater particles are up a bit, about 6%. 12 counties in the state are at high risk of transmission right now, down 9 from last week.
This afternoon, President Biden and the First Lady toured the hardest hit parts of Florida devastated by Hurricane Ian. The president promised storm victims the federal government will support them as long as it takes to get life back to normal. It has been 1 week since the storm made landfall. President Biden met with business owners and homeowners who lost everything and the first responders who are helping them.
We're here today because we wanted to tell you in person that we're thinking of you and we're not leaving. We're not leaving until this gets done. I promise you that.
Meanwhile, crews are still going door to door searching for survivors, rescuing 3,000 people so far. While the federal and state governments are providing much needed aid, private charities are playing a large part in helping people get back on their feet.
Today, Governor Roy Cooper's office announced it would support the state of Florida after the hurricane. North Carolina is providing 2 incident management teams down there to help. 16 people will head to Lee County, Florida, which is one of the hardest hit areas in the state. Half of the deaths in Florida from the storm occurred in these areas.
But if you've got a problem, if you've got a tree down on your car, if you had to be without power for a long time, want to try to make sure that we help those folks.
North Carolina also providing emergency communications experts. Hurricane Ian is responsible for at least 109 deaths. The impacts of the hurricane are being felt across the East Coast. WREL is here to help North Carolinians impacted by Hurricane Ian and those affected in Florida. So please join us in supporting the American Red Cross and their efforts to provide relief. Go to WREL.com, type hurricane help to donate.
The manufacturing industry is facing a shortage of highly skilled workers as thousands of new factory jobs are coming to North Carolina. A nationwide campaign to recruit more students into manufacturing kicked off today from the SAS campus in Cary. Industry leaders joined Governor Cooper to launch Manufacturing Day from the data analytics company's headquarters to highlight how technology is transforming factories.
Jobs are changing. They're not being replaced by robots or, the metaverse, right? What we're seeing is these new careers come to light.
Those modern manufacturing careers include data sciences, analytics, robotics, and artificial intelligence. The industry estimates 2.1 million manufacturing jobs will go unfilled by the end of the decade due to a shortage of workers with high-tech skills. A new park is coming to Wake County. The Board of Commissioners signed off on a $20 million contract to build it. Beach Bluff Park will be made up of 300 acres near Garner and Fuquay Marina. The county says the last time a new park opened was Green Hills Park back in 2010. This is what the park will look like when it's finished. It will have trails, gardens, picnic tables, and an area to look at wildlife. Construction starts next month. The county expects the park to be ready by 2024.
Still ahead, after record prices at the pump, another gas price hike is looming. That's after a major announcement from the world's largest oil suppliers. How high prices could go and when you could expect to feel those impacts next. Plus, a historic launch is in the books and heading for the International Space Station.
And I'm tracking 2 systems in the Atlantic. I'll show you the latest model plots where this one's headed coming up.
And before we go to break, it's that time of year. You know, we're not going to have many more sunsets here at 7 o'clock. Let's bask in these ones as we take a look at the North Hills. The sun is setting. Stay with us.
Live from WREL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WREL News, coverage you can count on.
The world's most powerful oil producers say they're cutting back oil production by 2 million barrels a day. The massive cut would be the largest reduction since the start of the pandemic by OPEC and will impact prices at the pump. Joining us now live to weigh in on this is NC State economist emeritus Mike Walden. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Let's first talk about the president. He released some additional releases from the Strategic Oil Reserve to counter the OPEC cuts. Will that make a difference?
It'll help. But what's going on here, Deborah, and good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. What's going on here is OPEC by far is the largest controller of the oil market in the world. About 40% of oil comes from the OPEC countries. Actually, it's OPEC plus. Russia's in there as well, so several other countries. They have been experiencing losses because the price of a barrel of oil has come down from something like over $120 a barrel to close to $70. And they've decided that's not good for them. They want prices higher. So the way they do that, they pull some supply off. They're talking about taking 2 million barrels a day off. Now, we have been pushing oil into the market from our strategic oil reserve. That was due to end in October, and the president announced he's going to continue that through November. I don't think, however, that's going to be enough to counter the reductions from OPEC plus. So bottom line here, we're going to see gas prices go up.
How high do you think they're going to go? And do you think we're going to hit levels like we hit back in June?
I don't think so, because we're getting away from the summer driving season. People are not driving as much. They also learned to drive more efficiently when prices were so high. So I'm looking right now at maybe 20, 30 cents higher per gallon.
When do you think we're going to start seeing the impacts? We know sometimes it can be slow to actually go and affect the pump price. How fast is this going to affect us?
Well, once it hits the oil market, it should be transferred pretty fast to the pump. So what people can do, if they want to, is go on a website and just call up what's the current world price of oil. That's published every day, and they can track it. If they see it trending upward, which it has been doing already, they can expect, I would say, within a week, definitely, to see the pump price go up.
And what about OPEC Plus's move to increase will it increase the odds of a recession? I know last time you and I spoke, we were just kind of right on the precipice of a recession. There's still talk of it later this year, early next year. So what do you think that this will do? Will this really tip us into a recession?
I think it will increase the odds. And I'm now thinking we are going to have a recession in 2023. But I think it will certainly increase the odds. It will add fuel, if you will, to a recession. Because if you think about it, and people know this, price of gas affects pretty much everything. Not just your commute to school or work, but deliveries of supplies, deliveries of products, even services. So it affects everything. So if you see the price of gas go up, pretty much that ensures that you're going to see higher prices everywhere, which means if people aren't getting salary increases to counter that, they're going to have less real money to spend. Less money to spend means a slower economy. Slower economy can turn into a recession. So, yes, this is not good news, not only for drivers, but it's not good news for the entire economy.
It's all everything affects everything else. Mike Walden.
All interconnected, yes.
It really is. Mike Walden, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Deborah.
All big issues people are thinking about. Another abortion. It'll be one of the top issues on the minds of voters this fall. The U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade puts access to abortion back into the hands of the state. Our exclusive WRL News poll conducted by Survey USA found that 47% of North Carolinians disapprove of the high court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's compared to 37% who approve and 15% who aren't sure. Tomorrow night on our news at 5 o'clock, we ask about another top issue. Do you think we are in an economic recession? Of course, we were just talking about whether we will formally be in one, maybe at the beginning of next year, end of this year. Do you think we are in one now? We're going to share those results with you. That's tomorrow at 5 o'clock. State leaders now see a trend where older residents in North Carolina may soon outnumber the young. That includes the growing number of seniors migrating to our state. Now, the challenge is planning for that growth.
Organizers of this Raleigh summit know that North Carolina is aging. The senior population is expected to increase by 52% by 2040. A governor's initiative called Hometown Strong is planning for that future.
More people are coming to North Carolina. We have resources coming down for the federal government. Everyone's looking towards this of how to reinvigorate their small towns, rural areas, big cities.
A large survey leading up to the event revealed the need to revitalize all communities and make the state a great place for all ages. Governor Roy Cooper says special attention is on the needs of those 65 and older.
This is a real opportunity for people to get to choose to age their way.
Age My Way is the name of the summit, with a goal to help seniors stay active longer.
We want to make sure that people have access to health care, to transportation, that they have the ability to have purpose in life.
Governor Cooper says more seniors still want to contribute as volunteers, mentors, or even filling gaps in the state's workforce. Many want to continue to work, but they also don't want to have to work.
They've contributed to our society their whole lifetime, and now they're hit at a place where prescription costs are high. Healthcare wait lists just to see a specialist is running longer and longer.
It's not the first gathering to address the needs of seniors. Representatives with North Carolina AARP believe now the timing is right.
And we've known that this growth is coming, and there have been many efforts before. And I think that the difference is that the time is more urgent now.
The Age My Way state survey results came from nearly 4,000 North Carolinians, conducted from May to September of this year.
A historic and successful launch by NASA and SpaceX today. Four crew members are on their way to the International Space Station.
Two, one, ignition, engines full power, and lift off.
So cool, that never gets old. The Crew 5 mission lifted off from the Kennedy Space Center around noon. Among the crew, Nicole Mann, the first Native American woman to go to space. The first Russian cosmonaut to fly on Dragon is also on board. The crew will dock at the ISS tomorrow and spend up to 6 months there before returning to Earth. Wow. Well, beautiful skies there. We've had beautiful skies around here, too. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now from the WREL Severe Weather Center. Also, this chill in the air has us thinking about the holidays.
Yes, it does. WREL's Nights of Lights tickets are on sale now, and we have a cool preview set up here in the WREL Gardens. They were filming some videos of this last night, and you can actually rent these out this year at WREL's Nights of Lights. Go to our website. Tickets are available, the early bird tickets, and they have hot chocolate or apple cider charcuterie inside these igloos and some sweets. And I sampled some of the sweets. They were really good out there last night. So check it out if you're interested in doing that. You know, the chill in the air really does have you thinking about how fast this year is flying by. We had 45 this morning, the coolest morning since May. We did reach the mid 70s today. We're now in the upper 60s, 71 in Fayetteville, 61 though right now in Roxboro. The next 3 days do show a warming trend though. We're back up closer to normal tomorrow, upper 70s to lower 80s. Friday, we've got changes coming with the cold front, so our wind direction will shift as we get into Friday evening and Friday night. 82 degrees Friday. We expect that front to be dry though. It will knock down temperatures heading into Saturday. Saturday, upper 60s back. Next 3 days, though, and through the weekend, looking nice and dry. We are finally getting rid of this system that we've been tracking, just sitting off the northeast coast for days now. It's what's left of Ian and the upper-level system that merged, starting to move away, and that opens the door for high pressure to take control of our local weather, and that, coupled with the southwest wind, lots of sunshine, will help us warm up back up into the 80s. Here comes a cold front, though, shortly behind it that moves through late Friday. It will knock down our lows into the 80s. Let's take a look at the satellite south of the U.S., though, and we are tracking a potential system. It's got an 80% chance of developing, looking pretty healthy tonight. There is a little bit of dry air out ahead of it. It is going to continue to move to the west-northwest, though, and we'll be watching for potential impacts as we get into next week for Central America. The way it looks now, all but one model plot does carry this system into Central America. One rogue model plot steering it to the north. So we will continue to monitor this. But as of right now, we have not seen any runs of our most reliable models, the European, the American model. None of the runs have carried it close to the U.S. We'll keep an eye on it, though, until it actually develops and we get more accurate model data in. Tropical depression number 12 in the eastern Atlantic. That one, it will be short-lived, and it's not going to affect anybody but the fish in the ocean. Good news there, but we don't think it's going to cross off another name on the list, just a depression. Tonight, low temperatures a little milder than we were last night. 49 in Durham, 50 in Raleigh, 46 in Rocky Mount, 50 in Fayetteville tonight. Heading into tomorrow, back in the upper 70s to lower 80s. It's mostly sunny. A beautiful day tomorrow, Friday, and really a beautiful 7-day forecast. You know, we've got some warmer weather, some cooler weather. We go from the 80s to the 40s by the time we get to Sunday morning. Little bit of something for everybody in the forecast. No rain, though, but highs range from the 60s to the 80s over the next 7 days.
Boy, it's really cooling off. Thank you, Kat.
Durham is bringing in some ACC action. The new agreement just announced that brings the championship to the DBAP and the economic impact it's expected to have on the Bull City. Hey, this is exciting news. The ACC Baseball Championship is returning to the DBAP.
Yeah, today the ACC and the Durham Bulls announced the agreement for the 12-team tournament set for next May 23rd to the 28th. The Bull City has played host to the ACC Baseball Championship 12 times previously, including 7 of the past 13 tournaments. This tournament is known to generate upward of $10 million in overall spending for the host city. Charlotte hosted last year's ACC Baseball Tournament. Welcome back to Durham. One lucky fan caught Aaron Judge's history-making 62nd home run hit.
Last night's game, the New York Yankees, the Texas Rangers. Dallas native Rangers fan Corey Humans is that lucky fan. He's sitting in the front row of left field. Judge blasted his 62nd homer of the season right at him. He was later escorted from his seat. You know, he needed protection when you leave with a ball like that.
Yeah.
It was a life-changing catch potentially for him. Now he's got to decide, what's he going to do? Is he going to keep the ball, sell it, or give it back to Judge? Some baseball experts say the ball could be worth millions of dollars. I think I know what he's going to do.
Look at, he's just like holding it real tight.
Dear life.
Well, as Kat said, WRL Knights of Lights is back for a third year, and tickets are on sale.
New this year, we do have an improved and redesigned route, things you can do outside of your vehicle as well, and just a good dose of holiday cheer. We bring that every year. To buy tickets and learn more about this family event, go to WRL.com, type in Knights of Lights right there in the search box. We're excited for it this year.
It's going to be here before we know it.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Our next newscast at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRL. Good night.